Okay, I went back from last week into my lesson, and I revised the revisions, and we're going to back up a little bit. I didn't feel like things were clear like they should be, and so we're going to try to redo here, and I brought some maps up here that we're going to take a look at. Nancy's been saying all along, we need some maps to understand what in the world you're talking about, and I've never been a map person. And geography was not one of my, I've been trying to figure out where a lot of this stuff is we're talking about. So I've done some homework this week. Anyway, but let's go ahead and turn to Daniel chapter 11. And we read these last week and we talked about them some, but let's go ahead and redo that. And so let's go ahead and read 11 verses 40 and 43, 42, 43. And we'll read those. So who'd read those for us this morning? John?
And at the time of the end, shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like the whirlwind, and chariots support him, with many ships, and shall enter into countries, and shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter also into the glorious land.
Okay, thank you, John. Okay, so this is talking about the first basic uprising, military, where these countries are going to attack they're going to attack Israel. And in attacking Israel, they're going to be attacking the Antichrist because he has made this covenant, he promises to protect them. And so that's how they come at him. And we're going to be reading some Bible verses this morning that will, now right here, we don't know that well, they are attacking Israel. It's going to be made crystal clear. That's who's being attacked. And again, it says the king of the south, which is Egypt. And again, when it talks about all these different directions, that means south of Israel, north of Israel. So south, north, all this stuff. So here, okay, Israel is right in here. There's Israel. And so it's talking about the countries in the north and the south are going to attack. Well, south of Israel is Egypt. And we're going to see here in a little bit, when it talks about the north, the term near the north actually means far north. It doesn't mean near north. It means far north. And so if you go far north from Israel, we're actually looking at Russia up in here. And we're going to see that all these countries in here are involved in it. That's coming in just a little bit. But mainly it's referring to Russia, the far north of Israel, which is Russia. That's the terminology, what it means. And so these, our text tells us the king of the north, or the south, Egypt, and the king of the north, Russia, shall come against him. The him is the Antichrist. Okay? And they're going to attack him like a whirlwind with all kinds of weaponry. This is a revolution. Now, some of the authors say, now, of course, they're just means they're going to come with military thing, with a modern counterpart. They're saying missiles and rockets and stuff like that, cyber stuff. Others disagree on that, and that's coming in the future, but there's a disagreement on that. They're going to come with all the forces they've got, and it talks about, and he shall enter into the countries and then overflow and pass over. The he is the Antichrist. And a lot of times I had to struggle trying to figure out, okay, now who's the he? Who's the them? But it's talking about the Antichrist. He is going to overflow and pass over. He's going to come into the countries, and he's going to invade the Middle Eastern countries with a tremendous military power to overthrow this revolution. He is ready to put it down. And so, and then it all begins to fall apart. He's had things kind of going his way. He's building. He's had 3.5 years. We're basically just a little bit before mid-tribulation as we're taking a look at these verses. And then it all begins to fall apart. There's this insurrection. And he's made this treaty with Israel. And so he comes to defend Israel as Israel's being attacked. In verse 41 to 42, he comes in and he actually, I'll just read him here. He shall also enter the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief children of Ammon. So he is going to overthrow these countries. So the Antichrist wins. He's winning this battle. And it says, and he shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. So having defeated the king of the north, he's beat Russia, and now he's headed toward Egypt. He enters into the glorious land, goes through Israel. The Antichrist will then head south through Israel toward Egypt. It talks about in many countries are going to escape, but it names Edom, Moab, and Ammon. They're going to escape out of his hand. And as we said last time, there's just not much down in those three countries. You know, Bedouin people, some tents, a few camels, not worth messing with. And so the Antichrist is going to destroy Egypt and Libya and Ethiopia. And so the Antichrist, I hit the wrong button. Okay. So the Antichrist, he's here. He goes up and he defeats the forces of Russia. And then when he gets done there, he's fighting through all this area here. But then he actually comes down and then he heads down toward Egypt. And it talks about in this verses here, he's going to defeat Libya and Ethiopia, which is down in this part. So there's a lot of territory. Of course, I guess a lot of times we think these areas are big. Actually, they're pretty small. You know, they talk about, you know, you can go from one end to something else in 30 miles. So, but anyway, all of this area here is going to be encased in this battle. Verse 43, he not only wipes out the Egyptian army, but all of those Arab countries, there's Arab countries who have sided with him on this thing, who are going to get involved, he defeats them too. And he wins this battle, and he is a master of the world at this time. Things are going his way, things are going good. He has passed his first great revolutionary test. He's passed it. Now we come to verse 44, and we're getting about where we ended last Sunday. So who would read verse 44 for us? Delbert, okay. Okay. Now he gets tidings of another war, and there's different theories on when all this takes place as to how it all comes into play. And I've struggled with this for 3 months. And I finally have peace about it all. And we're going to be going through some stuff here. I have really got peace about it all because, folks, when we get through all this type of thing, and I'm going to go through and tell the reasons for and against. There's reasons both for and against as to where these events we're getting ready to study comes into prophecy. But the peace I've got about it when I'm all done, I'm going to say, folks, I don't know. And because the scholars that I study, I've gone into all kinds of study on this thing, trying to figure it out. And they don't agree, first of all. And secondly, a lot of them had one opinion, and now they've changed it, and they're follow another opinion. So if they can't figure it out, I'm sure not going to. But I'm going to lay this stuff out for you, and then I'm going to walk away from it and let you make your own decision. And I think we're going to have to wait for more time to pass. And as the Bible says, you know, and when the fullness of time has come, there's been a lot of times, you know, that God reveals certain things as time goes on. Just like we talked the other day about the nation of Israel. You know, they're talking about there's a war. They're going to attack Israel. Well, Israel has not been a nation for 2,500 years. But we can understand, and they couldn't understand that, you know. Anyway, they're talking about attacking Israel here. Well, Israel in the past, you know, wasn't a nation. And how can he attack a nation that does not exist? And how can these guys explain that stuff? Anyway, but see, we know. Because this happened in my lifetime. My lifetime, this, we talked about the prophecy when the Israelites returned to their own nation, 1948. So, we read verse 44, didn't we? Okay. I'm okay, folks. Okay, so verse 44, later something happens again. We're having a second military invasion. Oh, it's what I started to say with all this. Some authors believe that this a lot of this stuff took place at the very beginning of the tribulation. The very beginning. And now this is 3.5 years later, which is mid-tribulation. So, but that's a pretty weak theory, but some believe that, and I think it's got holes in it. We'll move on. So later something again happens. They have another invasion. This time it is from the north and the east. The first invasion was the north and the south. This is the... Okay. So now we're talking about the north, which again is Russia. Russia seems to be involved in all this. But then in the east, there's some eastern countries that are involved in this. Back over here in this area. So... different group of people are aligning with Russia. Tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. He receives disturbing news that there's another massive military invasion in the land of Israel from the east and the north, this time. Russia is a great superpower and allies are in the east. One of the countries that's going to invade Israel will be... Iran. They're coming from the east to invade Israel. Iran, as you can see on the map there, is east of Israel. Russia's not going to let the Antichrist get away with all this, so Russia again invades Israel for the second time. One author says that the first invasion took place at the beginning of the tribulation, and now they've had 3.5 years to lick their wounds, to rebuild, reorganize, regather, and 3.5 years later they joined forces with the people from the east, and now they're coming again. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury, referring to the Antichrist. That's in verse 44 there. And the threat of these armies launched an attack will cause the Antichrist to return to Israel. So here he comes again. The Antichrist will go forth with great fury, and utterly to make away many, it says, which means simply to defeat Russia and her allies. He's coming to whip them again. All right? The Antichrist comes with tremendous military power intended to utterly destroy this invading force. However, you know, there's disagreement on what I'm getting ready to talk about. I'm going to take the stand. We're going to go through this thing as though it has taken place in the middle of the tribulation, mid-tribulation. And I'm just going to go with that and flow all the way to the end. And then when we get to the end of it, I'm going to come back and then there are biblical reasons for and against every theory. And that's why people are struggling with it, and I struggle with it. And I kept trying to figure it out. Lord, I need to know the answers. And anyway... enough said on that. So, he will not have the opportunity to destroy these people because God intervenes in a supernatural way. Some authors' opinions are that Ezekiel 38 and 39 describe this event, given in Daniel 11:44. And for the time being, we're going to go with this theory. We're going to say that we're getting ready to read both chapters, Ezekiel 38 and 39. It talks about a massive military invasion from Russia and where they come and attack Israel. And we're going to go with this theory, and so stick with me on this, and because it has got some value. It has some value. So, turn to Ezekiel chapter 38. And you're going to have to go backwards about 16th of an inch to an eighth of an inch. We're going to read these two chapters in their entirety, but we'll stop and we'll do some talking about it as we go along. But to begin with, let's go ahead and read Ezekiel 38, 1 to 7. Ezekiel 38, 1 to 7, and we're going to be flipping to Genesis here in just a minute, but keep your finger in Ezekiel, because we're going to come back to Ezekiel again. So now who would read Ezekiel 38, 1 through 7? Kathy?
Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog, the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks into your jaws, and lead you out with all your army, horses and horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya are one of them, all of them with shields and helmets. Gomer and all its troops, the house of Togarmah from the far north, and all its troops, many people are with you. Prepare yourself and be ready, you and all your companies that are gathered about you, and be a guard.
Okay, thank you, Kathy. Okay. To start off with, in verse 2, it says, Set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. Okay. Now I have, and this is all new stuff to me again. Like most of this, I'm seeing this thing for the first time, really. And Gog and Magog, those things, those names are going to pop up more as we go through this study for probably the next couple of weeks. As it turns out, I always thought it was just talking about lands. But actually, Gog, in verse 2 here it says, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog. But then it says, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. Gog is a chief prince. It's a person. As it turns out, it looks like it's the Antichrist. And at first I seen that theory and I disagreed with it, but as I studied more, I thought, no, it's right. And but actually, Gog is a prince, and these other things are lands. It talks about the land of Magog, and this Meshech and Tubal. These are all different lands. And so we could see it here. Okay. Now, as we go back, we need to go back to the Tower of Babel in our minds. And what happened at the Tower of Babel? People were scattered, okay? That is where, if you've ever wondered, where in the world did all the different languages come from that we have today? I think evolutionists have a problem with that. You know, how did we come up with all these different languages? Well, the Bible is crystal clear. It tells us exactly what happened. The people were rebelling. They were being disobedient to God. God says, go forth, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Fill the earth. And yet, as you study that portion of Scripture, back at the Tower of Babel, the people are saying, hey, we're about to get scattered all over the land. Let's all get together. We'll live together, and let's build this tower up to God. And they're being disobedient. God looked down, saw this Tower of Babel being built. He was angry with it, said, you're being disobedient. I said, go forth and fill the earth. And yet they're trying to, their mindset is to stay together. And so God confuses our languages. And everybody spoke in a different language. Now, if you can't talk to somebody, if you can't communicate, I mean, everybody's all this gibberish around you. God's confused the languages. And all of a sudden you hear somebody that speaks your language, you're going to flock to that person. You know, you're going to, hey, I need to be around people I can talk with and communicate with. And so God confused the languages, and then all these different people groups, then they scattered out, they went out, but you kind of go with your own language, with your own people you can understand. And so we have taken a look at some names here. Magog, the chief prince, okay, Meshach and Tubal. Okay, here's where these people, and history tells us, this is where they scattered. And so here we have, wrong button again, Jim. Someday I'll learn how to run this. Okay, you don't see Gog up there because that's a person, all right? But here's Magog up here. These are the areas we're talking about. There's Tubal. Here's Meshach, you know. We're going to see Gomer. And you can see, and actually all these, this is where all these different people scattered to. These are actually, this laser keeps dying out. It seems to be working up. Anyway, this is where these people went and settled. And that can be followed in history, recorded in history. And again, as I said, scratch that. So, okay, verse 2. Gog, there in verse 2, it talks about Gog and Magog. Gog is not a nation, but another name for the Antichrist. He is the chief prince. And so the Antichrist is leading this thing. And he is a chief prince. And Magog, the word Magog means the place or the land of Gog. And so when you see the word Magog, there were some, Magog is up there on that thing, but I guess the word Magog has got a broader term, and it means all of the land that's occupied by the Antichrist is what it boils down to. And I've had to struggle to come up with these, but that appears to be what it means. And so in Ezekiel 39, 1 and 2, it says, I will cause thee to come up from the north parts. I got ahead of myself here a little bit, but I did that on purpose. And again, it talks about the far north. We're talking about Russia. And let's just go ahead and look at 39, 1 and 2. And it says here, it says, therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the prince, chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. In other words, he's the chief over those two lands. And I will turn thee back and leave but a sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee into the mountains of Israel. Again, north parts there, that means far north. Far north. And again, notice in this battle that and I will leave but a sixth part of thee. In other words, that means only one-sixth of the people, these warring people, are going to be left alive. Five-sixths of the people are going to die. So we're talking about major uprisings here. So, so now, all these different terms that I've talked about here, where does all this come from? So now keep your finger in Ezekiel, and let's turn to Genesis chapter 10. And we're going to see where some of this stuff that I'm talking about, where is it coming from? Okay, Genesis chapter 10, and who would read the first two verses, verse 1 and verse 2? Who'd read those for us? We're going to put some handles on this thing. Tracy?
Now these are the records of the generations of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and sons were born to them after the flood. The sons of Japheth were Gomer and Magog and Madai, and Javan and Tubal, and Meshech and Tiras.
Okay. So we have these different, these are the sons, and they're named here, and the names of the people here, that is what shows up with all these different names here. That's where these people, so in other words, those guys all settled in this area. There's Cush down here, which is Ethiopia, and so, but this is where these guys settled. And so as we're talking about, you know, as we see these names, it's referring to the tribes of these descendants of Noah, and that's where they settled. That's where they lived, and their nation, their languages is what'll settle them into these areas. That's where they moved to. So that's where, and we're going to see these terms that's coming up a lot: Meshech, Tubal. Not all of them, but we're going to see some of them. But that's where all this comes from. So if you need to know where the language is, how we spread out, that's where it all started there. Okay, we're Genesis. Okay, among the sons of Japheth are mentioned Gomer, Magog, Tubal, and Meshech. These are the sons of Japheth. And Gomer, he settled into southeastern Europe. The descendants of Magog predominate modern Russia. And let's move on down to skip ahead in Genesis chapter 10, verse 6. And that's just short, so I'm going to go ahead and read it. But it says, and the sons of Ham, another son of Noah's, the sons of Ham were Cush, Mizraim, P-H-U-T, I guess it's Put, and Canaan. And so Cush is actually modern-day Ethiopia, which is down... Well, you see where Cush is. That's Ethiopia today. The names have changed so much. Mizraim and Put, P-H-U-T, that actually is to modern Libya today, and then Canaan. That's where all these guys settled. So as we see, it gives you background, as we see these names going to be popping up in the future, that's where all this thing began. That's where it starts. Okay, let's go back now to Ezekiel chapter 38. You kept your finger there, I hope. Ezekiel 38. And we're going to go ahead and list some more of the armies that are with the Antichrist as they're marching on Israel. And so, Ezekiel 38:5. I'll just go ahead and read this. Now, we're back to these armies that's marching against him. We have Persia and Ethiopia and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togmara and the north quarters and all his bands, and many people with thee. So, there's all these different countries. We've got, in fact, Persia, the first country in Persia is now Iran. Names changed. It changed in 1931, I think it was. It's been called Iran ever since. So in other words, we have Russia, we got Iran, all these different countries, Libya, Ethiopia, all these countries are marching together with Russia to attack Israel, which is an attack against the Antichrist. And so the Antichrist is coming against all these different nations that are military force. Now, bear in mind, it's not everybody you know, 100% of the people from these nations are with the Antichrist. There's going to be some others that don't follow, that are not involved in this war. This is a military campaign. So, so Persia is now Iran, Ethiopia and Libya, Gomer, Togarmah, and Gomer was actually, or Togarmah is actually the eastern half of Turkey, I should say, eastern half. And then it says after that, at the end of that verse, and many other people with thee. So that means this is not an exhaustive, complete list. There's other nations too. It says many other people with thee that are not named. So there's others not named that are in on this battle against the Antichrist. Here's a quote from Bob Sheldon in the year 2000. And Bob Sheldon's the guy who wrote that little book that we used on here. He says, although Russia's military power today, now again, this is written in 2000, so it's 18 years ago. Although Russia's military power today is not what it was during the height of the Cold War, for the first time since August 1991, some Russian leaders are openly saying that the military-industrial complex should be restored to its former status, unquote. In other words, what this means is now the Russian people are saying, hey, we lost a lot of our strength, a lot of our power, you know, since the Cold War, but they're saying we need to rebuild. And see, Russia really came back to almost nothingness. You know, they tore the wall down, they did all this other stuff, and so Russia, you know, was turned into a pretty weak nation, you might say. But they're saying we need to rebuild our nation, our military. And look at, I mean, he wrote this 18 years ago. Look at Putin today. What's he trying to do? Russia will come back, according to Bible prophecy. So Russia is not over with. A lot of people thought Russia's dead, they're gone, forget them. You know, they don't count anymore. Yes, they do. They're coming back. And we can see that. Here's a quote from Dwight Pentecost. And he's talking about this group of people that we just studied here, that we went over. Allied with Russia will be Iran, which is formerly Persia, and certain Arab states, which is Put, P-H-U-T, or Ethiopia. Germany, and some Asiatic peoples known as Togarmah, which may include an extensive coalition of Asiatic powers. In other words, a lot of countries from Asia are going to be involved in this. This is not an exhaustive list, as we have seen. It says, and many people with thee, unquote. So there's a lot of others that's involved too that the Bible just failed to mention. So, these are representatives of an Arab alliance. Some of the Arab nations are going to chafe under the power of the Antichrist and the Western alliance. They're going to get fed up with it, and they're going to try to take over. They're going to unite with Russia and come against the Antichrist in the Middle East. Okay. Now, in Ezekiel, back to Ezekiel, and we're going to continue this chapter on. So let's read verse 8 through 16. We're going to continue on here. So who would read 8 through 16 for us? John? Okay. Okay. You have read. Mick had his hand up back there, John. Go ahead, Mick. Yeah, 8 through 16.
Thank you.
Okay, you're supposed to stop at 16, so we're good. Thank you very much, Mick. Okay, what it boils down to is God is speaking to Russia, you know, or to the Antichrist, you know, but he's saying, I'm going to bring you against my people Israel, you know, and you're going to come to take a spoil. You're going to come to gain riches, and you're going to do that, and you're going to invade my people who are dwelling safely in unwalled cities. They're going to be dwelling safely. This is a prophecy that God has given us here in Ezekiel, given Ezekiel. So in here, it mentioned many people who are brought back from the sword, or people gathered out of many nations. That's referring to the Jews, the Israelites. As they have been gathered out of all these countries, they've been brought back from the sword, they're coming back into their own nation. He says, okay, I'm going to bring all my people back to my nation, and you're going to attack them. And in the latter years, it says, thou, Russia, shall come into the land. When the king of the north comes down, Israel will be in the land dwelling safely. It's made it crystal clear here that they're dwelling safely. We've seen that in the book of Daniel, that they're going to be dwelling safely, unwalled cities. And in verse 9 here, it says, Russia's going to come like a storm. They're going to come like a cloud to cover the land. Israel will be in a land of unwalled villages, verse 11. They're going to be people who are at rest, who dwell safely without walls, bars, or gates. Israel will be in a land, and it will be in a time of relative peace. You know, I always thought, and again, I've had to change my mind so many times, but I always thought, you know, even from the beginning of the tribulation, things are really bad. And then they just get a whole lot worse at mid-tribulation. But actually, Israel appears to be living in pretty good peace, pretty good safety. That's the way it is for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. The Antichrist has become their protector. He's made a pact. Daniel 9 says he gives them peace initially. They don't build any walls. They let their defenses down. They're protected by this great world ruler. We don't have anything to worry about. And then in verses 12 and 13 that Mick just read, it says, Russia invades Israel to take a spoil. They're going to come in and they're going to rob them. They're going to loot them. Israel is known as a gateway to three continents. Okay, here's the one. Okay. Right here's Israel. It says Israel's a gateway to three continents. Look at this. You know, you kind of go, it's kind of the, you go through here, you got to go through here to get up to here back in those days and even today. I mean, it's a gateway to Asia, Europe, and Africa. So in other words, they're a strategic location. It has been called the navel of the earth. The Dead Sea is known as the jewel box of the Orient. The Dead Sea borders the eastern part of Israel. It actually, in fact, the boundary of the Jordan, between Israel and Jordan, there's a boundary through there. It's too small to see on this map, but the boundary goes through the Dead Sea. Israel's got most of it. And it says there's no way to calculate the total wealth of that sea with its vast mineral resources. It is chock full of minerals and it's very valuable. Looks like our time is up. The Dead Sea is on the southeast side of Israel and it splits the boundaries of Israel and Jordan. And some speculate that the day may come when the oil of the Middle East will be available only to those nations that position themselves against Israel. Some are saying that oil is going to be a big factor. The oil of the Middle East, and anyway, there's resources back there is what I'm trying to say. The Russian bear is once again on the prowl. The book of Daniel says that Russia will move against Israel to take a spoil. And then again in verse 16, it says, and thou shalt come against my people Israel. So we have no questions who it is that Russia is going to be, where they're going to attack. I've been saying, you know, they attack the Antichrist by attacking Israel. And right here it spells it out. And we have to stop. We're a minute overdue. So, anyway, just getting, there's some exciting things going to take place here. In fact, we're going to find out that the Antichrist coming to destroy these people, he didn't have to fire a shot. God's going to take care of it himself. Okay, so we better just quit. And if you have any questions, ask Pastor after the class. So let's close the word of prayer. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, we can see what the future has in store. You've shown us. You've told us. You want us to understand it. You want us to know. And Lord, you also want us to trust your word, to know that it is real. Lord, we've seen so many prophecies in this book of Daniel that have come to pass in the past, and 100% accuracy. And Lord, so we know your word is true. And Lord, you say there's things coming to pass in the future. One of these days, Lord, the rapture's coming. One of these days, there's judgment is coming, Lord, for the saved and the unsaved. And Lord, just help us to not to bluff this off. Lord, to take it seriously. It is serious business. We just pray, Lord, that you'll open our hearts now for the message to follow. Pray that you'll be a pastor. Speak to our hearts through his message. And just guide and direct everything that we do, that we might just honor you and honor your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed and you're 2 minutes late.